What's going on, everybody? Welcome and welcome to the Deconstructing Topic Podcast. Woo, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. We making it happen every day. That's for sure. This is that podcast where you already know what we do. And if you don't know, I will tell you that we talk a little bit of life, culture, politics, philosophy, all that in between. And I got a nice little, perhaps going to be a little bit, 15-20 minute little episode, short episode of an endearing character or endearing individual. Sorry for that. Little tongue twisted. But people already know Deconstructing Topic Podcast. We are about saving a mind and saving a life. That's for sure. If you already enjoy this stuff and you just like family listening to me episodes, each episode, you waiting, what is Deconstructing? What is D going to be talking about next? You already know, Phil. Hit the like button. Want to comment? You know, engage in a little conversation. My links are always there in the description. Feel free to reach out to me, DM me. And feel free to share. Just share because, again, we bring it in light. And one of the things that we bring in is that we put in our people, whether it's black, Latino, Asian, all in between, whatever the case might be. We're going to elevate people that already are either elevated or we're going to bring people to certain people that's still not aware of what's going on. And when you dabble into, in my case, the independence of Puerto Rico, when you dabble into things like that, you're going to come across certain figures historically that you'll be like, wow. And if there's one person that I felt like, wow, when I first heard of this individual, it's none other than Frida Kahlo. Frida Kahlo, just coming off a little documentary there on Amazon Prime. Definitely interesting. My understanding is that they use her, how can I say, journal and letters to tell her story on her own words. And I found that interesting. Frida Kahlo, everybody, is a Mexican painter. Born in 1907, I believe it was July 6, 1907, and passed away at a young age of, 1954, so, you know, it's around about 47, something like that. So unfortunately, it's one of those things that she died young because she was dealing with a lot of health complications. And one of the things when I came across Frida Kahlo, and if you were whether in a Mexican revolution, whatever revolution you into, and when I say a revolution, we're talking about the people who just wake up one day collectively and just get tired of this government or whatever high entity manipulating, abusing them. And you start a revolution, whether it's the French, Mexican, Spanish, American, Puerto Rican, Dominican, whatever revolution, Canadian. But in our part, in terms of Latino, Mexican, Central American, South American, Caribbean revolution, especially in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, you had Frida Kahlo. And Frida Kahlo, the Mexican painter, known her and her husband, Diego Rivera. And one of the things that gravitate with me, you know, she's an artist, obviously, painter, self-portrait. And for those people out there, I'm going to drop a link. Some of them are famous self-portrait. And every art that she does, every paint that she does, it tells a story, whether it's death, whether it's a suffering because of relationships, romances, whatever it is. She's telling a story. And one of the things that kind of like resonated with me, because sometimes emotions, I tend to be very emotional. So this is why one of the reasons I created this podcast, to talk about different things, because there's different things that I want to talk to about, where it's different. I'm like an octopus. There's little different tentacles there that makes me who I am. And Frida Kahlo was someone, you know, to this day, like when, you know, you hear more about her, as more letters and her writings come up besides her painting, you'd be like, wow. She sounds like she would belong here in this time. Like, and keep in mind, we're talking about in the 1920s, 30s, 40s. My understanding that, you know, she was married to another artist, Diego Rivera. And I always find that situation also interesting because he saw her as his muse, and for some reason, that's a word that always got stuck with me. You know, when you find someone or something that is your inspiration to your art, basically, whether it's music, writing, painting, whatever it is. Yeah, that was Frida Kahlo. That was the situation. But she also have different romances. With a revolution, it's a Russian, Leon Trotsky, my understanding. And other people's as well. And women. She was also had a couple of romances, my understanding, one or two with a woman. But that was Frida Kahlo to you. Frida Kahlo just belonged to the world. Because you have to keep in mind, her painting resonated with a lot of people, depending on whatever it is your background. Now, keep in mind, back then, you know, different story, depending on what you had in Mexico, where lean towards conservative, Roman Catholic. Obviously, anything that's outside of the marriage is a sin. But when it comes to certain acts, whether it's you being with someone of your own, you know, man and a man and a woman and a woman, you know, it's frowned upon as sinful in terms of what the religion is in the area. So she was a little bit beyond her scope of thing because she was a revolutionary. She traveled, so she took a little bit of whatever other countries and she put that out there in her painting. And again, whether you're from United States, whether you're from Russia, whether you're from other countries, South America, Mexico, Puerto Rico, the Caribbean, you already know. If I was to grab a self-portrait of Frida Kahlo, then you would be like, okay, if I tell you the story behind that painting, I know she has this painting of her bus accident. Which that's another reason why it resonated me. I'm survivor of a car accident. And even prior to that accident, I, you know, as a young man, it's one of those things that it changed the way you see things, obviously. And it might have changed her. And she put that in her painting. Because again, she had different things and she was into how the mind works and this mental aspect of it. I believe she had some type of an affair with a French Andre Belton, if I'm not mistaken. Someone who was into the mental psychiatry, how the mind works and all that good stuff. And Frida was, I'm telling you, Frida, for her time, yeah, she sounds and she is someone that just belongs in any time. Plug her in now if we had a Frida Kahlo, and I'm pretty sure we do. We have someone out there. She's out there. And she, in the time that she was born, 1907, a couple of years later, the Mexican Revolution started, you know, from 1910, I believe it was the 1919 or 1920 or something to that effect. Lasted a while. Probably a little bit longer than that. I remember when I tell, when I see some of my Mexican people and I tell them about Emiliano Zapata, who were part of the Zapatistas at that time. The farmers rising up against the other group. The Carranzas or whatever the case. When I mention Emiliano Zapata, they look at me like, oh, Puerto Rican knows his stuff. I'm just saying. Again, when you dabble into the revolutions and whatever, anti-imperial, all when you dabble all in that, you're going to come across these little different countries where they're going to have different revolution, and that's how I know my stuff. I'm not saying I'm an expert in Mexican Revolution. I'm not saying I'm an expert in whatever revolution. I'm just saying, sometimes you dabble, you know, you go through that little rabbit hole, and Frida Kahlo was inspired by the Mexican Revolution. That even as a student, hey, she was on some, hey, we need to do something, the injustice, and so on. And it's funny because one of my sister-in-laws, Mexican, She'd be surprised. She'd be like, damn, how is it that you know so much about Mexico and stuff like that? I've never been to Mexico. But again, you dabble, you learn. Because sometimes you have to understand. You have to, you have to learn from certain things. Especially you have to learn more of the people that's around you. I grew up in the Bronx, so obviously I got a lot of Mexicans around me. Honduran, Guatemalan, Dominican, you name it, Ecuadorian, Colombian. You know, you want to know a little bit of everything. Because sometimes I'm that type of person, I'm always curious about, hey, how did you get here? What is it that's going on over there in your country that you're coming over here? Now, obviously, coming to the United States, it's like, hey, you know, you get more chances at certain things in life. And I'll take that with a grain of salt, but my Mexican sister, she was like, hey, listen, because I do mention certain things that have transpired after the fact that Frida Kahlo died in 1954, where she's not too far behind. And one of the things that if Frida Kahlo was feeling like this revolution, unfortunately, with the Mexican Revolution, I mean, you know, my understanding, you could go both ways. It really didn't change much because it's only made a constitution. It might have given more power to the government. Some people might have said this is that. Some people might have said it led to cartels in terms of farmers getting together and doing, you know, even though the cartels came way after, but still, you know, there's something a little bit more on the other side that happened on the Mexican Revolution. But once you have a constitution, once you give a lot of power to your government, then that's when you start to do certain things. And one of the things that my Mexican sister said, hey, you know, I want to learn a little bit more about, what have things have done in the Mexican government that has led to people come over here, or certain like things of what have led to, let's say, Frida Kahlo and her painting and the way she felt. And I was telling her about 1968, unfortunately. So they was going to have the Summer Olympics in Mexico in 1968. And one of those things that happened was the, and I'm going to try to say as much as I'm going to say, is the Teotihuacan Massacre. I'm sorry if I'm butchering it. I mean, the Teotihuacan Massacre. I think I'm butchering. So basically, what happened? These students, and Frida Kahlo was a student. If you look globally, students, when I say students, for the most part, is these universities, because these universities, from what I've seen, especially United States, they tend to lean towards either liberal or progressive, right? All right, we'll take it as that. Mexico is no exception. So in 1968, in October of 1960, I believe it was October, unfortunately, there was these students who were protesting in the 1968 Olympics, which I believe the Olympics was going to be like 2 weeks later or something to that effect. You know, one of the things is that there were people that were just tired of the government. They spent a lot of money on this and that and so on and so forth. And then I don't know where certain people from the government, from the Mexican Army or Air Force or Armed Forces, something to that effect, started shooting at these students in 1968 and killing about 200 or 300, depending on where you go. It could have been, God knows. But thousands got injured. And again, this happened in 1968. This is way after Frida Kahlo died. But you got to keep in mind, Frida Kahlo already had that mindset, and through her art and through her ways, is that, hey, we always fighting something. But the thing with Frida, just like it happens to me, and it happens to a lot of artists, that we get consumed so much in our art, And things of that nature, that we just get wrapped around and just get sucked into this personal thing, and sometimes mental issues, depression, so on and this and that, and we just, and sometimes we make bad moves, bad decisions. And Frida was no exception to what her art was. She did a self-portrait of one, you know, her self-portrait with one tear coming down. You could be like, well, is she crying because she's sad? You know, with Frida, you don't know. Is she crying because of happiness? She did just one tear. She's not crying. She just had one tear. What does that one tear symbolize? Does it symbolize love, lust, revolution from the past, the present, the future? Frida had that type of, that thing. When she did her art, it's like you could find something. You could find but at the end of the day, you could find pain. And even at the time that she was alive, hey, as much as she tried to tell a story through her art, unfortunately, in the case of the students here in 1968, got gunned down. All because they felt the government was spending too much money on certain things that they don't need. I mean, it sounds familiar, right? You got the Olympics coming up. Again, some Olympics at that time. And what's interesting, and sadly, is that in 2014, again, in October, in Mexico, there was a Iguala mass kidnapping where 43 male students who attended this college, it's an all-male college where basically so they basically, my understanding is that each year they honor the 1968 massacre to remember those who fought and died protesting, fighting for better, for the people, for the common person. So these 43 students, let's pay respect. Let's do the thing that we do every year. And unfortunately, those 43 students in 2014 disappeared. And I believe there's a documentary. I'm not sure if it's Netflix, or it's in Netflix. It's called 43, and I suggest people watch it. You know, if you're Mexican, and you know, when I come across Mexican that wanna, how can I say, have this mind of we're fighting some type of still imperial, something to that effect. Yeah, you're gonna see a lot of Frida Kahlo stuff. Now, unfortunately, you know, corporations take over. She gets co-opted. You know, they put her image all over the place, like they did with a chair. You know, all I'm saying, if anyone's going to make money, make sure that those proceeds go to a place where it does help young women with mental health issues, struggling artists, and so on. In this situation with the 43 students, unfortunately, I believe they found a couple of human remains and stuff like that. Some might have done in the shootout. You know, some might have gotten beaten to death. It's sad. Some got burned alive. I mean, it's sad. But just the fact now, some attributed to that it was they just was in the wrong time, at the wrong place, whatever the case might be at that time. There was cover-ups in the government in Mexico. My understanding, the mayor was charged and actually got arrested like years after, my understanding. Because it was a cover-up. It could have been that day. You got these people in power who, you know, tend to feel like they were back in 1968. Not in my house. Or you come into my town with that nonsense that you're going to revolt or whatever it is that you're going to do, a revolution or mock revolution, whatever the case might be. You're going to come to my town, not in my town. You call the armed forces once again and bloop, the rest is history. 43 students who were honoring the hundreds of thousands of students that either got injured or died in 1968. And we go back to Frida Kahlo, and we go back to the Mexican Revolution. Interesting. Interesting story. And that's why I gravitated to Frida Kahlo when I began my journey as a young man to educate myself. Because I always said, if you don't know your story, well, I'm going to sound a little bit crazy, but the white man will create that for you. And I say this because a lot of them own publications the news, the government, whatever the case might be. They're going to tell you the story on your behalf. As they always say, the victors always tell a story, but sometimes we don't need a war to tell a story. We just need a story, and it will be co-opted. But that's Frida Kahlo, and that's why I always felt like she was very endearing. Not only that, to my sister, my real sister, not sister-in-arms. She also a sister-in-arms. So, it's interesting. She was born in the time of the Mexican Revolution, for what it's worth. To a time, we go to the future, 1968 massacre in Mexico, and then the 43 students that passed away. Just trying to remember that. But here we go. Ooh, I'll be sending you the links, whatever it is. Watch the documentary on Amazon Prime. And, you know, sometimes I'm hesitant that some of these platforms like the Amazon, Netflix, they got enough money to make documentaries and stuff like that. There's other independent documentaries that you could find in the life of Frida Kahlo done by independent people. But, you know, if you really feel like don't have that much time and you just want to indulge yourself a little bit, it was a good documentary. I enjoyed it. I mean, seeing beautiful, beautiful woman too. Beautiful. Very unique look. More unique than Marilyn Monroe. Because I think that, I'm not going to say Frida Kahlo was more natural. Well, you know, for those Marilyn Monroe fans out there, I apologize, but I'm just stating the obvious. Anyways, much love out there. Let's make it happen. Enjoy this podcast. Share it. Talk to your friends about it in the water cooler. All over there. Listen to it. Put your water-resistant earbuds in the shower. Whatever you're going to do, listen to this podcast. Listen to my voice. It's Deconstructing Topic Podcast. We in it to win it. Let's make it happen. Saving a life. No, saving a money. Saving a life. Let's go. I'm out. Woo-woo. I'm out. Peace.